This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 12th of December, 1952. The title of this lecture is SOP Issue 3, Postulate Creative Processing. This lecture is 61 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
This is the third hour. December the 12th, afternoon lectures. I'm going to cover in this hour a little bit different than I've been covering as we go across the line here. We're going to cover Standard Operating Procedure Issue 3. The Standard Operating Procedure, Scientology, was originated at the end of September in England in 1952, and that was issue one. Now, that came out in the magazine Scientology, issued from Phoenix, reprinted. That has been changed to this degree. It has been shifted to take out of it anything except postulate processing and creative processing and spaciation. And it has those three processes as its basic, plus exercising the thetan perceptics. The process is essentially very simple. This process makes a theta clear. Extended and continued, it makes a cleared theta clear. Now, it has this as a strangeness. You can use the various steps of this process, one after the other, and get a thetan exterior. That is, the guy is outside and knows it. He isn't astral walking, he isn't in himself saying, I'm over there and all this. He's outside and he knows it. He says, do you think I am, or something of the sort? He's not. I mean, we're dealing with Aristotelian logic. Yea and nay, without a maybe. Of course, he's going to be astonished that as his knowingness increases, his outsideness increases. And as his knowingness is low, his insideness is high. And he'll say, yes, I'm outside, and he knows it. Well, he'll know it more and more and more, of course. But he knows he's outside. He'll get up to a point, he'll get up to a point where he'll wonder if he ever was in that damn thing. That's a fact. Now, what degree does he know it? The degree to which he will tell you, yes, I know I'm outside. And what degree is that? Whatever he desires to call that degree of knowingness. It's very simple, you see, but it's very, very crude, really. For instance, there are people here who are so dispersed, they don't know where the hell they are. They're way out, maybe. They might be dispersed all over the place and think, therefore, they're outside. You see, they're just not any place. This would be their negative space. Negative space. Space not only doesn't exist, but it's elsewhere. always elsewhere. Now, you'll pick these people up on the track, and you'll get them picked up and collected. They're stuck here and stuck there and stuck someplace else and dispersed there, and things have moved into their space someplace else. And when you first start to process them, you'll find them someplace else. They might say, oh, I just love it. I just love it here, and I just wouldn't leave this under any circumstances. But after 20 minutes of processing, they say, my God, I'm glad to be out of that place. That's a fact. This mess universe vector business, they've been forced to like it somehow or another. You're liable to find your preclear any place. You're liable to find him standing around a carnival, which happens to be using one of his old skulls. Ran that one time. Fellow was waiting around an animated skull. It was his skull, and so on, and the carnival was using it to make its jaws flap. Carnival was using it there and had a red light in it, and its mouth was opening and closing at the entrance of a tunnel of love. You talk to this boy about love, he'd just scream. You want to know about how simple an aberration can be. If you talk to him about tunnels, he'd go mad. What'd this have to do? You must say he must be lost in a tunnel. No, he had a skull. It was nailed up to a post outside the tunnel of love with a red light in it. All right. Or he's guarding an area someplace. He's been set to guarding an area. Or someplace down the track, he may have been set to guarding somebody's wife. So he proceeds to guard his own. Yet he's down the track someplace guarding somebody else's wife or somebody else's slave or something somewhere. And he'll answer for it if anything happens. It's really been impressed on him electronically and every other way. Boy, he sure is hell on guarding women. Or she has been set to guarding or watching or spying upon somebody, and she's got this one confused with her husband, and she's all upset about that, too. You free him up the track. I'm trying to show you that just freeing a person up on the track, as we've known for a long time, is terrifically beneficial. The dispersed case is stuck on the track in lots of places. His aberration directly derives from all the places he's stuck on the track. Those are the most aberrative things. And his stuckness on the track is represented by one, a theta bop of some narrowness, which means a body, and a theta bop of some considerable width, which means an area, such as home universe. He's still stuck in his home universe. Okay. So, as you go down standard operating procedure, you have case one. He's pretty well collected in present time, as far as space is concerned. Therefore, he moves right out. From there on down, he's less and less collected, but just the operation in steps two, case three, case four, the operation alone of making him step outside may collect him. Case five, no, he can't be collected. He can't be collected simply by stepping outside. He's elsewhere, and he's elsewhere too solidly. That's all a matter of space. Now, case six and case seven, likewise, are very dispersed. Only case six and case seven are really well collected at some other place on the track, not here. You know, they say he isn't all there. Boy, is that apt. It's enough to drive me out of my head. How apt. So let's look over this from a standpoint of high practicality, just the standpoint of space. And we find out that space regulates the steps in the standard operating procedure. Now let's look at it from a standpoint of energy. And the standpoint of energy, we find as we go down the line, the person is more and more solid as an object. You would expect this, as his space is less and less well organized, and he has less and less free space until he finally runs into negative space at about, that is, he's out and here and there. And we get down in energy, we find it's more and more thick, more and more thick, more and more condensed. So that he is surrounded. A one in Homo sapiens normally has fairly dense energy around him, but he can move through it and it doesn't bother him too much. A two has more condensed energy in his immediate vicinity, has less space. A three has even denser energy, a four much denser, and a five, oh brother, you couldn't get this fellow out with a hacksaw until you do some processing and getting collected and get him some space and let him handle space and a few things like that. A six, what engram? They're all stacked in one place. The characteristic of energy as we go down the line is a stuck needle. Now the thetan can, to some degree, disperse and give space to the GE. Surprising, but the presence of a powerful thetan in the vicinity of a badly aberrated and badly packed up GE can give space to that GE. Just his presence is sufficient to stretch the amount of space around the GE. But we can have a condition like this. The steps being modified by the solidity of the GE. The G is terribly solid, and we put him on an E meter, put the preclear on the E meter, and the guy steps out of his head rather easily, and he is practically on the bottom of the tone scale, and the needle register stuck. How fascinating. It merely means that that E meter measures first the GE and then the thetan. So you've got a GE who is stuck, not the thetan. Well, when you get down to five and six, the person doesn't step out of his head. He's low on the tone scale. And he does not demonstrate any real activity of needle. You've got a thetan who is not collected. Get how complex this can be now. A thetan who is not collected, who has heavy energy deposits, very solid, around him too, who is in a GE, which has very solid ridges and which is pretty badly dispersed itself. Now, you don't necessarily get a stupid case when you do this. The brilliance of this case is dependent upon the little funny factor that isn't well isolated at all. It is above the levels of wavelength. And you can imagine this. Thetans vary from thetan to thetan in potentiality of creating space and energy in it. There's a real, honest-to-goodness variation in intelligence then, which comes from, you might say, theta itself. There's a real difference of horsepower that comes from theta itself. But as you look around you, you will not find any thetan of sufficiently low horsepower, as far as I know at this time, to remain unable to be incapable of being collected and being made into a theta clear. The guy has to be awfully bright to be here at all in no matter what kind of a condition. And the physical infirmity of the individual is no index of the power or ability of that individual. The solidity of ridges is no index either. Because what's postulating there is not using energy. The energy is getting in the road of it. And it's not using space. So it's distribution of space. But let's take the real spinners, and we find an exception to that. The real spinner was described one time to me by Richard, who wrote those course books. An awful good kid, Richard. He probably knows way up on this subject. Probably one of the best, quote, authorities on Scientology there is. So I'm not an authority on it. I could be by definition. And he explained one time, he said, you know, he said, what psychotics look like to me. He said, you take a psycho and you turn him loose and he's going in this straight line and a little tiny impulse hits him from one side and it moves him over from going on the straight line and he moves off in this new direction as modified by that impulse and he walks off in that direction. And then the next time some other impulse hits him and shoves him over in some other direction and starts him on a new course, exterior impulse, and he moves right on over and follows in that direction. Of course, he's obeying the laws of particles. See? Now, and he gets hit from another quarter and he moves off in this new direction. He's got this erratic zigzag. Now you get a person who's not, and he starts on a course, and a particle hits him, and he might stagger a little bit on it, and he keeps right on the same course. Another particle hits him to shove him off in some other direction. He might stagger a little bit in that direction. He stays right on the same course. And the only thing that happens to him, he slows down. Really, that's the essential difference between the psychotic and the sane person. The psychotic obeys the law of particles. The sane person obeys the law of free aligning action. He aligns action, continues to align action, and is not a particle. Your psychotic also looks and feels like an object. He has no responsibility. He is handled. He doesn't do the handling. So we have these complexities with regard to these steps of this case, and therefore we find that a psychotic quite often will simply step right out of his head. You walk through sanitariums, about the same percentage of people in the sanitarium can step outside of their head as the people on the street. And mad as hatters. So there's something there. There's the essential capability of persistence in alignment, not capability of reasoning, is the difference between sanity and psychosis. So don't expect, just because this person is mad as a hatter and is treating everything like objects, that he can't step out of his head. Don't make the essential mistake of saying then that there are cases outside the action and perimeter of standard operating procedure issue 3. There aren't. And what do you do with a psychotic? Well, if you can get his attention at all, you give him standard operating procedure issue 3. You just go right on down. You'll find out that if he can't do anything else by the time you get down to step six, get ARC straight wire as another process in addition to those I named first beginning of this lecture. But you're already operating outside a perimeter of contact. So that's really just establishing accessibility. And a better process is ARC straight wire in terms of mock-ups. Let's put a little man out there and let's see if we can hear him talk. So we say ARC straight wire, throw it in under creative processing. All right. ARC straight wire will solve it, though. So here we have this process applying to no matter how many pre-clears you've got or what they're doing or anything else. If you're going toward theta clearing, this is the process you use. If you're going to fix up a chronic somatic, you may attempt to resolve it by simply using mock-ups without even essaying toward theta clearing. But if you want my candid opinion, I believe that theta clearing an individual by standard operating procedure is a much, much faster method of knocking out chronic somatics. That is an opinion. Because I found out occasionally if you start to fool around with somebody with too much processing before you theta clear him, he's liable to bust a ridge or something of the sort that makes it less possible to theta clear him. Once in a while this happens. Furthermore, he's subject to every ridge the G's got. As long as he's subject to those ridges, he's going to start responding like Homo sapiens to everything. The fastest process I know is standard operating procedure issue 3 for anything. Good for man and beast. You'd be surprised sometimes when you're a good thetan how many beasts you can walk up to and tell them step out of their head, and they do. Thetans get all fouled up, by the way. One day they're very fond of cats or something of the sort. One fine day, why, they're a thetan, you see, and they're kind of maundering around in a sub-zero state of unknowingness. They get the impression of this cat, very big. They feel this cat is over there, and they're outside of a body at the time, and they're wandering around and just drifting, and they say that poor little cat seems to be in pain. They put a tractor wave on the cat, and they go, they're a cat. They say, meow. All right. Girl was running Wichita one time. They couldn't do anything for him, couldn't do anything for him. All of a sudden, they found a past life as a lion. Well, that'd be all right, but there is no past life of a lion on the GE track. And we were running GEs at that time. And then when the rest of it came out, it became even worse. She had eaten her keeper. And I never heard of anybody 2 million years ago, a lion in the forest primeval would have had a keeper. Till we discover it was in the Chicago Zoo. Became very bad. They ran the incident. She became sane. It all seemed to be wrong with him. She went away very happy and cheerful about everything. Now we've got some kind of an idea of what had happened there. She'd probably been hanging around the zoo. And she ate her keeper. Checkup of the newspaper records demonstrated that at that time a keeper had been eaten by a lion at the Chicago Zoo. Anyway, we'll go on. Don't buy any of these wild thesis of science fiction here. You can just murder the police if you want to. You can go down into those lie detector operators and really fix their clocks for them. You could say, did you ever ask any of these criminals that you're putting on this lie detector if they ever had lived before this life? And they say, of course not. You say, well, you got one right there. You mind if I ask him? Say, have you ever lived before? Off the tape go the needles. You say, did you ever commit a crime in the last life? What are you accused of in this life? Bank robbery? Oh, well, did you ever rob a bank in some past life? When? What bank? Where? Oh, Chicago, 1932, or New York City, 1912, or something of the sort, or Boston, 1904. Okay, tell the guy. You say, well, all right, what's the names of the other guys? Let's spell them out that were in the robbery. You just beat the information out of him by selection of letters, you know, and alphabets and so on. Make your police detective guy send a wire to Boston. There was a bank robbed at that time. They caught the other guys later, too. Okay. Before you do standard operating procedure of issue 3, you set up your e-meter. And you do creative and destructive, very destructive, assessment. Just do an assessment. Now I'm working on symbolism of language, a table. Be ready one of these days. If you don't have the table, just break it down by dynamics. Somebody wrote me the other day that dynamics had been installed in several incidents. What's he think any kind of an implant, any kind of an implant would do to a guy, huh? But install, let's say it's a group implant, well, how on earth do you suppose the guy would ever, under any circumstances, not have the third dynamic accentuated if he's being told by hypnotists to be loyal to a group? They weren't installed one way or the other. Okay. You can read all about this here if you want. We've got all of these various definitions, and I'm going to go over these definitions in another lecture. We're only interested here in operating procedure itself. And we find out that step one, positive exteriorization, reads as follows. Step one, positive exteriorization. Ask the preclear to step foot back of his head. If he does, ask him to go back further, then up, then down, practicing placement in space and time. Then when asking him to see if there are any items in the body he would like to repair, and proceeds to let the preclear repair them according to the preclear's own ideas of how you should do it. Then educate the preclear by asking him to create and destroy his own illusions into finally getting a certainty of illusion, and from this certainty perceiving the real universe with all perceptics. No, the realist universe is, of course, one's own illusory universe and should be completely rehabilitated before one attempts to perceive or handle or worry about the meshed universe. It says complete in that. That is a typing error. It should be rehabilitated. It's more important to rehabilitate that, one's own ability to create a universe and destroy it. It's more important to do that than it is to ask him to perceive messed universe waves. Rehabilitated, sonic, visio, and so forth, the messed universe are very clear and very certain. Clear perception in early stages is not a test of being outside. The only test is whether the preclear knows he's outside. Failing the first line of this step, go to step two. All right, let's take a comment on that. That's a very simple step. You say, all right, now be a couple of feet back of your head. The fellow says, who, me? You say, yeah. Let's just pretend that you're inside your head and let's be a couple of feet back of the head. Well, I don't know what percentage, probably about 50% of your cases suddenly say, okay, I'm there. Just like that. It won't even seem strange to them. The awareness is such a high turnip of fact an actuality that it causes no comment from the preclear. He just knows this is true. He kind of thinks he knows it all the time, and of course he did. Now you just put him on through drills. If he doesn't step out, if he says what? Oh, I'll back my head. What are you talking about? You mean step back of my head? I'm sorry, I guess I can. You go to step two. He says, yep, I'm there. You got step one, and you just carry on. Now, the drill here is quite important. You know a lot of this drill. It's just creative processing. I noticed here we've evidently got a line left out in this copy. Change postulates. Doesn't it ask you to change postulates here? Nope. That's evidently been left right square out of this copy. So let's make sure that we add to this copy, and you make sure that you know, change postulates. Give him rising scale postulate changes and shift his postulates and change his mind around after he's outside. Because actually, that's only the process there is. Convincing him through action that he can make postulates and make things happen by postulates. If you haven't got that yet, it's all you're trying to do with mock-ups is make new postulates. Say, yeah, I can do that. Because he says, I can do that, he can do it. That's that. And then he finally finds out how high and tall this gets and how absolute it is, and he gets very interested. Wow. He'll go through periods of being very careful not to make postulates, too. He's afraid if he says the Empire State Building will fall down, it'll fall. No, it won't. Not for quite a while. All right. So get postulate processing in there in step one. Now, failing the first line of the step, go to step two. By orientation. Older issues of this said negative exteriorization. That's still a process. Evans Farber played around with that. You'll find it issue one. If you want to look it over, negative exteriorization, it's also covered in 880. It's the only one given in 880. See, the one I was using before that had as its emphasis on responsibility. Now, you can get all the process you want out of responsibility. If you really got to specialize in a process, there are a lot of them, you know, that you can specialize in this process. You can specialize in cause and effect. You can specialize if you want to in have and have not. You can specialize if you want to in responsibility, irresponsibility, aesthetics and responsibility. You can do this very easily, and if you use responsibility, you'll blow the guy out of his head. Have and have not won't blow him out of his head, but for some reason or other, responsibility does. Because it's mainly his responsibility for his environment and his body and that sort of thing that keeps him there. All right. Negative exteriorization was a very simple affair. It simply says, try not to be a foot behind your head. And the guy had bang into it. Well, it's opposite vector, messed universe. This guy is very, very heavily influenced by flows who can do this, and quite often will do it. But a preclear occasionally also gets mad, and quite in addition to it, I haven't found auditors being able to make it work. This is what I can make it work. I haven't had any trouble. Evidently, Farber can make it work. But likely every auditor I've trained sooner or later come around to me and said, Ron, you know, I can't get anybody to work on that negative exteriorization. Well, as I said, there's several kinds of processes then. One of those processes is simply a process that I can use. Well, boy, I can make anybody well with practically anything. I could probably even take psychoanalysis now and make it work. I mean, let's get impossible. How would you make it work? Oh, I don't know. You'd say so and so and so and so, and you'd look at the guy real hard and emanate from a couple of different directions and plow down a few ridges and say, well, you feel guilty about that? Well, that's fine. Now tell me all about that. And while he's talking, why pull a few more ridges off of him and monkey around. I don't know what you'd do. Then there's the process that two or three guys can use and with which they'll occasionally do results. And then there's a process two or three guys can use and produce results rather uniformly. And then there's a process that you can use and other people can use, and you know what you can, how to communicate it, and you can talk about it, and other people can use it, and they can get results, and these results are very uniform, and that's a very desirable process. That's the process you want. You don't want these other processes. First book had a lot of that. Several can do it, but a lot couldn't. I had a lot of that. So a negative exteriorization, still a process, works on opposite vectors. I'm sorry that it didn't go further than it went. Orientation is a more able process. By the way, negative exteriorization wasn't just a lost effort. Let's not get that idea about this thing. It showed that there was an awful fast method. You didn't process flows and responsibility and so forth and blow the guy out. It was a sudden approach. You just walked up to the guy and you said, try not to be 2 feet back of your head, and poof. In some of these cases, he was. And it demonstrated that it could be done. And as such, it was a very valuable process because it all of a sudden pointed up, gee whiz, there's a snappy one. Out of that way, you can just work to make the process snappy. So by orientation, ask the preclear, still inside, to locate the inside of his forehead. And ask him to put a pressure beam against it and push himself out the back of his head. Supplement by this, asking him to reach out through the back of his head and grab the wall with a pulling beam and pull himself out. Ask him to steady himself outside and then, by means of beams, to raise and lower himself while outside, and to move to various parts of the room while still outside. Use creative processing and by orientation as a thetan, placing himself as a thetan in space and time, he can become sure of his whereabouts. Create spaces and times, in other words, in which to place himself. Have him find and cast off old lines which have their terminals fixed to him. You're going to have a rough time with this boy because he's going to be nailed down if you have to get him out by force. You got lines on him, and very often lines up to the sky, and old communication lines that have been on other people, and they're snapped back at him. And, oh, brother, is he a tangled mess of energy? Have him find these lines wherever they are and attach them to radiators and water taps and get the energy to drain out of them. Two will ordinarily have enough lines to cause him to snap back in the head when he releases beams. Failing this, go to step three. In other words, it's just a thing. Here's a guy in a box. And there's no back to the box. There's a man in a box, and you see him there in a box, and you come along and you say, well, why don't you get out of the box? And he says, I can't. And you say, well, how about putting your hands against the front of the box? I give a shove. And, of course, he shoves himself right on out of the box. That's all there would be to that. When he gets outside, he's outside. There isn't anything esoteric about it. There's one more thing about step one I've got to mention. That's a very simple thing. It concerns itself. It's better to say, be 2 feet back of your head than move 2 feet back of your head. A step two, you say, move out. Pushes himself around, he uses effort, and then you work on him so he can think himself to places. think himself in one part of the room, then think himself to another part of the room, then think himself elsewhere, and he'll pop then. Very fast travel. Get him out of this use of beams to propel himself around as fast as you can. That's done by rehabilitating his use of beams. Make him so good at using beams that he doesn't need beams, not just discouraging from using beams. That's the Hindu method. Bring him down tone scale and make mast out of him. Okay. Step three, space processing. This is spaceation. Spaceation is in the messed universe as forced upon the thetan its spatial dimensions and directions. The thetan is likely to become a point which is being subjected to all counter efforts and emotions of his environment, for his entire concept of space is being determined by the messed universe. And, of course, he can agree with the messed universe down to a point where he agrees with the messed universe till he can't see it anymore. You realize that, don't you? The guy's got to be able to perceive an illusion before he can perceive the messed universe very well. That's one of the things that led into creative processing. You see, the thing is an illusion. Test. You improve a guy's ability to create illusions, and he all of a sudden begins to look at the messed universe, and he sees it better. You'd say, well, this is just force at work. No, you keep on improving his perception. You keep on improving his own illusions and perceptions just by creating illusions. First thing you know, he looks right straight through the messed universe, and he says, what messed universe? Now, that's fascinating. So we've got an illusion as being the key to these illusions. So all these things we've been studying about spaceation are usable then in step three. Have the thetan still inside, find his feet in the opposite direction where the messed body is located by the messed universe. This is quite a little process, by the way. You haven't heard anything about this, unless you've read this. Why don't you try that right now? Where are your feet located with relationship to where your body is? Now let's locate them straight back of your head. Now let's locate them straight above your head. Now let's locate them way off to the right. Way off. Now let's locate your feet way off to the left. Now let's locate your feet back where your feet are. That's a real silly one, isn't it? Anybody snap any ridges doing that? Nobody got any ridges snapped? Well, if you can just throw a pre-clear's feet around, or throw his body around and put his body right side up and upside down and so forth, all connected to his head, you can finally put his head down in his stomach. And then put his head down where his feet are, and he'll be sitting there looking at the top of his head. Let's try that again. Let's put your feet straight out back of you and upside down. Make a point that way back of you. Let's locate them. Now wiggle your toes out there. You got that? Wiggle your toes real good. Now put your feet apart and put them back together again out back of your head. Now put your feet back where your feet are. Now let's locate your stomach in space with relationship where you are. Now let's take your body and putting the head where the stomach was, stretch it out horizontally. So your feet are way out in back of you. Put your head down there where your stomach is. Now turn it blue. Now turn it green. Now take a look at the back of your head. Take a good look at the back of your head. Now turn your whole body upside down, so that your feet are up in the air and your head is about where it is. Now turn it what is laughingly called right side up. Anybody flip out and find themselves looking at the back of their head that they hadn't done this before? Did you?
Yes.
Okay, there's one. Anybody else? Find himself looking at the back of his head and he'd never seen it before? Well, that's very, very fast operation. It hardly gave you any of this technique at all. So we got somebody who did. Well, sure, a guy doing this will say, I think I did. Takes a lot of drill. Now, you just keep that up, see? Now you put the guy's head back where it belongs, then you give him some other kind of a head, then you put his feet some other direction, and then you keep locating him in space and locate the body in various orientations in space, you see? And you use the feet as anchor points, make the feet widen, and finally able to control the body. Let's put the body out horizontally, way back, and then move the feet out and move them in again, and then move them in walking motions. I'll finally say, I can handle this body. If you keep drilling this, I can handle this body from any position, is the mission it calls. If I can handle it from any location, I can probably handle it from outside. So it's safe for me to move out. That's all. And it's just drill, 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 drill. And you just keep that up. And find out if he springs. Work him like that, maybe a little longer than I worked you. If you are going to get that technique, you're going to get it quick, because that's one of the techniques that you would use in orientation spaciation. All right. Having create difference in his body and reverse the various limbs and positions according to his viewpoint, each one in disagreement with the meshed universe, particularly as appertains to gravity and other influences. Stop him agreeing with the body. In other words, this sets up an ability to disagree with the messed universe in terms of space. Have him locate his eyes in the back of his head and the soles of his feet and in other places. Have him assume other bodies, each time changing them slightly and putting them away. And have him gather himself into his normal messed universe spatial area and go to step one. Go through all this drill, see? What you're doing also is testing. He's testing way out this way and way out that way. Is it safe to be in that space? You see, he doesn't really know. He's just got to take the messed universe's word for it.
It may be interesting. I just, while you're talking there, I just turned my head around. I turned my body around, kept my head this way, and put you back there, and all of a sudden I didn't remember which way I was from. Just for an instant. Some people were aware, I didn't know which way was to look.
Very interesting. You get a guy, you see, he's
sweating.
You see, he's so used to using this body for orientation that if you take it away from him, He feels he won't be oriented in any circumstance whatsoever. He's got a dependency on the body for orientation. Now, space processing has added to it. You go to do more space processing, you just do anchor point processing, either in this step or just in generally handling your pre-clear. I've done a lot of spaceation, anchor point processing. This isn't a complete list of what you do in spaceation. This is just what you do in springing a theta. If he has the enormous stress on the body as his sole and only anchor point, your chances of getting him out aren't good until you've collected him. Now, you can run things on the track, you can run mock-ups, you can do this in many ways. But if he's got an absolute certainty that he needs that body in order to find himself, oh boy. So you just handle that body and manhandle it and mishandle it and put the wrong scenes in front of it and the right scenes in front of it and put it upside down and right side to and put the limbs in the wrong places and reverse everything and make the body do things that it couldn't possibly do, just like he did there. But say it, turns the body the other way and facing his head and put him back, and oh boy, all of a sudden the guy gets, where the hell am I? Let him get that shock a few times till he can stand it. You move out. You say, well, what am I doing in this thing? I don't need this thing. I needed it for orientation. Well, I can still keep an eye on it and be elsewhere. All right, next one is step 4, ridge running. Now, that's only in here because it's a good process as itself. I haven't had very many people use it very successfully, but I've had enough people use it successfully. So they're still there when done this way. Ridge running works on some cases. Fascinating, too. Case is terribly occluded, and you all of a sudden give them these little white flows. I'm not going to go in and tell you how to do ridge running at this time. Show them a little white flow, and that's a command flow and not command flow, and all of a sudden the guy comes to the realization. He's not only outside looking at his body, but he's in the realization that, my God, I can handle this thing. That's all he's trying to learn. That's all you're trying to teach him. When you want him to get him outside, he can handle that body without putting lines on it, without doing anything to it, and without snapping back into it every time it's hurt. You're telling him he's more powerful and he's better able to control it outside than inside. He's inside because he can't control it or anything else unless he's inside. You're going to fix him up so he can control anything he wants to, particularly the body from outside, without any lines, flows. Let's stay clear. He's just stable outside the body, he's handling. All right, black and white control processing. Now, you've seen some examples of that. That is just straight. Put up a spot. The guy's eyes open or shut. Have him see it. Move it. Change it from black to white, white to black, enlarge it, contract it. Move it around in circles. Let it persist, turn it on, turn it off, put it behind him, put it below him, and so on, to the tiniest gradient scale that you can get him to do this, and then increase it. You use the lowest level that you can get him to do and know he's doing, and you get increasing this, and you just go right on increasing it from there on. And it gives him orientation control over his mock-ups. His mock-ups get better and better and better and better. All of a sudden, he's got complete control over his mock-ups. But that is the lowest gradient scale, and that is step 5. And that determines step 5. Step 5 will first tell you, I see everything totally black. I can't get any mock-up. I can't get any pictures. I just vaguely imagine something. When I do get something, it flitters by so fast I can't tell what it is. Well, the answer to that is, put up a spot and get him to control the spot. So the result is that he can't control or see or use mock-up processing you think. And you've got black and white control processing moved out to being something else or someplace else. Well, it's not. It's the lowest step of gradient scale mock-ups. And it's right on the gradient scale of mock-ups. The only reason we call attention to it is for some cockeyed reason. I have explained this a lot of times ever since I first picked it up, and by golly, I still get questions on it. So we just made a process out of it and said, it is a process. Well, it's really not a process. It's the lowest gradient scale action of perception, of mock-ups. A tiny black spot. The guy says, I imagine things, but I don't see them. No. Black and white control processing. Control that spot. Turn it white, turn it black, move it up, move it down, move to the left, move it to the right. What do you know? The guy's tone will come way up on an E-meter as he realizes all of a sudden, my God, I can actually control a spot of light. You'd be surprised. And there's your very occluded case. All right. What else do you do for this case? Well, it stresses the necessity to give him an E-meter assessment. You find out a lot about this step five. He comes all the way down through ridge running. No good. So we'll have to talk about step five very carefully, all by itself. But he's the guy that can't see, can't feel, can't hear. He might be quite bright. He might be quite worthwhile, quite powerful. But no mock-ups. He's in agreement with a messed universe like mad. It's the trouble with him. Very often your engineer will walk himself into being a step five in the exercise of his profession because he has to agree so much. All right, step six says ARC straight wire. Well, you can get him into ARC with mock-ups if you can get mock-ups. Or you can get control processing a little bit. But actually, you get some guy to remember something is really real to him, he'll pop up the tone scale. And you get something that's really real to you. And he's below any level of reality that he thinks he could reach. And step seven is present time body orientation. Where's your body? Person who needs a step seven, of course, is insane. That's an insane condition. Where's the light switch? What's the realest thing in this room to you, huh? What's the realest thing in this room? The light switch. Finally find him so he can locate the auditor. Maybe he can't locate the auditor. Can he locate his big toe? All of a sudden he says, my God, he said, yes. All of a sudden he feels kind of sane. I can locate my big toe. There it is. Ha! Big line chart. The guy was crazy a few minutes before, and now he's tippily sane. He'll go off again and on again, pinning him. But he can locate his body. So there's the gradient scale of the guy who is able to step out and knows he's a thetan to the gradient scale of the guy who doesn't only not know he's a thetan, but he doesn't even know he's got a body. Okay, and that is a brief rundown then and the overall rundown on Standard Operating Procedure Issue 3. Now we have to cover these steps in a much fuller sense. Each step at a time, particularly steps 4, and steps 5, and of course steps 6 and 7. The steps 4 and 5, because they're the steps that have been the bafflers. The rest of them are easy. And then we've got to cover specifically the exact drills you put a thetan through. We're not dealing, fortunately, with an inexact science which depends upon my opinion or my idea. Next guy that says this, according to your ideas, I'm going to pop. I mean, just out of hand. And my mess body has been covert and mean and ornery and vicious and under my control and trying to kick back at me and it hasn't been able to or anything of the sort. And next time I hear that, I'm just going to let it go. So if you see somebody fly off the stage, madly, you'll know what happened. Hubbard just took the control point off. Be my mess body's fault. Okay. We should know standard operating procedure, issue 3, by heart. By heart. You should know it. You should always use it. Or when you process a case, process it by that procedure. And don't get innovative, because this process saves you time and makes theta clears. And I hope that's what you're trying to do. Okay. Thank you very much. I'll see you tomorrow.